Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Yeah, we know you got a bunch of stories you couldn't use anywhere else, so you slap them together, you put on a dated theme song from ABC where we see a guy fall off of a ski jump and totally trash his ankle. Oh, I still remember that image. All so that you can share the stories that you think might be of interest to the Christian audience. And then you slap it with a label that's rather lame and you call it Wide World of Christian Stories. That was a little long. Yeah, that was a... This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to Washington, D.C., shall we? We are celebrating. Oh, boy. Jimmy, tell everybody what we're celebrating that's marking 250 years.
That's America 250.
No, that's not the word.
That's not the official word.
Yeah, what is the word? You got a centennial for 100. You got a bicentennial, which we're all a little uncomfortable with these days. But now for 250, what is that called?
Semi-quincentennial.
Stop it.
Nope.
Semi-quincentennial.
That's it.
Yeah, America 250 is better. The marketing department knew what they were doing with that. On May 17th in Washington, D.C., rededicate 250. Rededicate 250. So who did the first dedicating? Nevertheless, it's a national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Jimmy, let's see how much of a curmudgeon you are these days, shall we?
Okay.
This is done in conjunction with the
semi-quincentennial.
Exactly. The semi-quincentennial just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? And it's being held in Washington. Would this be too much of a mingling of church and state for your taste? Come on.
Yeah, well, you probably.
Be a curmudgeon.
Yeah, probably.
Have you ever gone to one of these clam bakes?
Nope.
Why not?
I've just never been interested.
All right. I guess my question, I see these regularly, and I wouldn't say it's not a sin. I don't think we want to go that far. But why do we seem to do events like this at political centers, like the state capitol, Washington, D.C.? Why does it have to be done in conjunction with? I'm just thinking, if we really believe in the power of prayer and that it really does require God to fall on this nation and to regenerate countless souls, if we believe we can we do that praying right where we are? Can we do that praying right inside of the church? And by the way, speaking of praying, all right, this was one of those articles that I had from Nine Marks. They were talking about prayer, looking to the past for lessons about prayer. This is just going to make you go glunk. This is a Puritan worship service. They met twice on Sundays, in addition to weekday meetings and home-based fellowships and prayer gatherings. So they did home church too. No, they did small groups is what they did. And we think we're so clever. It wasn't unusual for the Sunday morning meeting to last 3 hours or even more. The meeting would typically open with a pastoral prayer that would last around, you ready for this, Jimmy?
Yeah.
15 minutes.
Wow.
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
And back then people loved it.
Mm-hmm.
They really did. And it's not necessarily because they were super spiritual compared to us. It was because for the most part, this was like a big deal. This was the community of believers coming together because the rest of the week was basically consumed with work and being a BG. You were just ha 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 staying alive. That's what you did all the time. And so when you got to come to church together, it was a really big deal and you'd spend hours together. Oh, this is interesting. This is an idea that I like too. We can swipe this idea from the Puritans right here. Apparently there's evidence of something called prayer bids, B-I-D-S. No, you didn't have to pay people to not make that request. This would be a prayer bid These were papers that Jonathan Edwards had saved. The congregants gave him small slips of paper during the week, and he would refer to them during his congregational prayers the next Saturday, or the next Sunday, rather. So this would eliminate, okay, do we have any prayer requests tonight? Anybody? Anybody got anything? Anybody? Anybody got anything for prayer? Jimmy, I see that you've got a prayer. What do you got there, Jimmy?
That's actually a really good idea.
What, the prayer bids?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you were supposed to play along with me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you were supposed to play the guy who goes, yeah, so like, yeah, so my boss.
He's got this song stuck in his head.
He's got,
and he's making everyone else suffer.
Pray for women who smoke Virginia Slims. Where did that prayer request come from? Exactly. And it would just eliminate all of that. Wouldn't that just, that's efficient. The Puritans, they were masters of efficiency, they were. So they used prayer bids for that. Interesting. Get them in advance. Because that would indicate, too, they're actually important. Rather than people going, oh, somebody better offer a prayer request or the poor guy's just going to be standing there all day. Instead, we've got them in advance. And we incorporate them into the prayer. Rededicate 250 coming to
semi-quincentennial.
Department of Justice, perhaps you've heard this story, as long as we're in Washington, going back now to the Biden administration. Oh, cool. Turns out the DOJ really was targeting Christians. Anybody shocked? Anybody shocked? Do I see a hand? Nope, I don't see a hand. You're just scratching your ear. Nobody shocked that the Department of Justice was genuinely going after Christians. There was a lengthy report. It had 14 accusations. Key finding one, the Biden DOJ pursued aggressive prosecutions against nonviolent, pro-life Christian demonstrators under the FACE Act, but responded less aggressively to actual violent attacks against pregnancy resource centers. We covered those stories. You remember those? It was intentional. And now we're discovering it. They regularly clashed with a Christian worldview and burdened traditional religious practices. This is from the report. These conflicts frequently arose over, you guessed it, abortion, gender ideology, sexual orientation. The Biden administration penalized Christians who lived in accordance with their beliefs. Good thing we've got the book of 1 Peter to tell us how to deal with this, because this is nothing new. And really, if church history, if history teaches us anything, right now we have an administration that's blocking this type of aggressive acting toward Christians, but they aren't going to be the administration forever. What will the next administration be like? When AOC, is that AOC?
That's her.
Yeah, I wonder if she's going to be celebrating America 250.
I highly doubt it.
Probably. She'll be with her husband, brother. The point is, the politicians of the Biden administration, they were coming down on Christians. And we have every reason to believe if this current defense system that we have called the Trump administration does not get reelected, we better be ready for more of this. The early church saw a ramping up of prosecution. The early church into the second and third centuries, it waxed and it waned. It wasn't really constant. It wasn't until Constantinople, actually, that the Christian religion was made a legal religion. There were seasons of serious persecution, but then another emperor and it wasn't so bad, then another emperor, and that would be the pattern that we might be following too. Key finding number two, the Federal Bureau of Investigation under the Biden administration investigated, monitored, tracked, and scrutinized traditional Catholics who had engaged in no criminal misconduct. Here's one more. No, two more. The Biden IRS investigated churches because of what their pastors preached and Christian organizations because they applied biblical teachings to daily life. The good news is there aren't many Christian organizations that do that. Actually, that's bad news, come to think of it. The point of this is they went after them because they were opposed to their radical ideologies. The Biden administration denied Christians and faith-based organizations equal access to government services, benefits, and programs, regulated and suppressed religious speech if they did not like that they did not like and curtailed Christians' ability to jointly worship and study the Bible. Speaking of politics, there's a Methodist who's running for office, for Senate, actually, from Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. 61-year-old United Methodist Church pastor. You maybe know this name. He's a mega church pastor. His name is Adam Hamilton. And he's got a very, very big following. It's one of the largest, if not the largest, Methodist church in America. And he's 61 years old. He's been pastoring there for forever. And he's running as a Democrat. He says it's just strategic because he wants to lead from the center. Okay, if you really want to lead from the center, call yourself an independent. But the reality is you're a Democrat, so you're running as a Democrat. How do I know? Well, this was the Methodist, one of the early advocates for the UMC to change its position on same-sex marriage. Sir, just be honest. Just say you're a progressive. Just say that you're a liberal. Just be honest. And then people will either vote for you or they won't. But to call you, I'm just calling myself a Democrat because it's strategic, but I'm really going to be leading from the center. If you believe in a total undermining of traditional marriage, sir, that ain't the center. This is Wretched Radio.
You've tried everything. You've sent articles. You've had the conversations. You've probably argued more than you wanted to. But you have a loved one who is still neck deep in the prosperity gospel or the new apostolic reformation, and nothing you seem to say gets through. It's exhausting, I know, and it's also heartbreaking. Snatch Them from the Flames was made for exactly this reason. Todd Friel and Justin Peters sit down and they tackle why your loved one is attracted to these movements in the first place. Because until you actually understand that, you're just going to be swinging in the dark. Then they walk through the things that you can actually say and do to help pull them toward Christianity. This isn't about winning an argument. It's about understanding someone you love and pointing them to something real. If you've got a family member or a friend caught up in a false gospel and you don't know what else to try, Snatch Them from the Flames is for you. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust, it's not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur, bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is an epistle.
Epistles are letters written to the church at large or to a specific church, which contain doctrine, theological arguments, and practical application. God uses first century correspondence to deliver his timeless truth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And one more reason to focus on evangelism. Actually, we have every reason to focus on evangelism. This is Wretched Radio. Isn't that what God is about? Isn't that God's purpose in creating the planet to bring glory to himself through the redemptive work of his Son? And we are enlisted to proclaim his excellencies so that he might receive glory on the day of visitation. That is why we are here. That is what God is doing. Everything else, window dressing, everything else, it's bells and whistles. But the sole purpose of the planet is singular, that God would be praised forever for being the God who so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's what we are supposed to be doing, proclaiming his excellencies. To this we are called. Why do we have the impression that we get to slide when our Savior was maliciously brutalized, beaten, and murdered? And we think that this life is really just about enjoying fine things. That is so delusional. We are actually called to submit, to suffer, and to be sanctified. That is what we are called to, so that the world will see our response to their wicked deeds and wonder, huh, who do those people believe in? Because their response is supernatural. I would like to hear about the hope that lies within you. That should be our... It's not that we suddenly give up on everything and every responsibility that we have in life and just evangelize, but shouldn't it be on our priority list? Let's go to Colorado. I think you'll see one more reason why. Did you hear about the Colorado School District, specifically Elizabeth School District in Elbert County? They had to exempt a student from their digital campus management platform. Now, apparently this is being used in campuses across the U.S. When a kid leaves the classroom, they get a little thing, a digital campus disc or some sort of a card, so that they can track their movement. When they go to the bathroom, they go to the library. Well, this young lady is a Satanist, and she asked for an exemption because she said it violated her religious beliefs, and the Elizabeth School District said, okay, we'll give it to you. They argued the bathroom access rules conflicted with her sincerely held religious beliefs as a member of the Satanic Temple, citing a tenet of the Satanic group, which states, quote, one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. Well, if that's the case, you don't have to obey any laws if you're a Satanist. You don't have to drive the speed limit because that's telling your body what to do. You don't have to sit in your desk at your desk in the classroom because that's telling your body what to do. Nevertheless, who needs consistency? In a letter to the district, the legal counsel argued the school's bathroom monitoring system burdened the students' religious exercise by placing authority over the bodily autonomy of this particular student. Now, we know the government, you're constantly told what to do with your body. Do you wear a seatbelt? You're told what to do with your body. Do you use a car safety seat for your child? Do you put on a helmet when you ride a motorcycle? We're constantly told what to do with our bodies. Nevertheless, the school bowed because they were probably threatened. Dan Barker, the Freedom From Religion Association, probably had something to do with this. And so now the student uses physical hall passes for restroom access instead of logging departures in this tracking system. Well, I don't know how that's any different, but nevertheless, does that get your goat? No satanic pun intended. Does that bother you that they actually had to, they saw fit right, wrong, or indifferent? They applied religious liberty principles to the Satan student. Now, you don't like that. I don't like that. How do you change that? If it is a genuinely held, horribly held religious belief, how do we argue that religious liberty doesn't apply to them? How do we argue that? How do we argue it regarding Islam? How with prayer time? How do we argue it against any religion if it's going to be applied equally, which is another principle of the American Constitution, the equal application of the law? How do we argue that? And that's why I come back to, this is why we need to evangelize. If this little Satanist were a Christian, she wouldn't be getting this satanic exemption. That's why, if we don't like the stuff that we are seeing in America and we don't like it, I could be wrong, and maybe somebody far more clever than I, it doesn't take much, could argue, well, no, this is how Christians can argue that shouldn't be allowed. Okay, I don't see it, but I do see this. If individuals are born again, we don't have to deal with these issues. It won't be an issue. Or if nothing else, the peer pressure would be so great, she'd never even think about doing it, although I suspect the parents are probably behind this. If we don't like the underwriting of marriage, if we don't like how children are being treated and these parents that are manipulating their children, what was it? Jimmy, were you the one that was telling me about the woman who was pregnant who put ABBA music or something?
Yeah, she played ABBA, because she wanted her son, who she was pregnant with, she wanted her son to turn out gay.
And it takes ABBA music. Now, yeah. The question, though, is which comes first? Are you gay and you like ABBA music, or you like ABBA music and you become gay? That has to be sorted. Even so, if that mother got saved, and it's always a mom, if that mother got saved, that dopiness wouldn't be happening. We should take all of this angst and anger that we have about what's going on in our culture and channel it into something that can actually make a difference. It can make an impact. And incidentally, sorry to share from Sunday's sermon again, but if you want to be countercultural, if you want to be going against the grain of the world system, you can do that. That's what Peter is advising. This is what I encouraged women who perhaps they bristle underneath the term submission to a husband, because that is so anti-feminist. It is so countercultural. A woman in the first century who didn't submit, she would be a big problem. A woman in the 21st century who does submit, she's countercultural. Madam, when you are being submissive, rightly defined, we need to understand it rightly. We're not patriarchal here at Wretched. Rightly understood what that means and what that looks like. When you do that, you know what you're doing? You're being a culture warrior. That's right. You actually are shining a light. You are making a difference, because the world does watch. That's one of Peter's persistent points. The world is watching you. Your husband is watching you. Your boss is watching you. The government sees how you act, and it leads them to getting saved. So if we don't like the story out of Colorado, and I don't know any of us who does, there's something we can actually do. Share the gospel. Report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Jimmy, I don't know if you covered this one. 9 out of 10 new jobs in the United States since 2020 have gone to foreign-born workers. Oh. 9 out of 10.
Wow.
And maybe that explains why there's so many university students coming out going, I can't get a job. Oklahoma. Oh, did you see this video? Dude. This was one that got buried in the news coverage somehow. This is about a week ago. His name is Kirk Moore. He's an Oklahoma principal. There was a dude broke into Paul's Valley Public School in Oklahoma, and he had a gun, and I think he popped a couple of rounds off. The principal comes running out, tackles him, takes a shot to the leg. You go, dude. Well done. You know, this actually got me thinking of the assassination. The latest assassination attempt in Washington at the Hilton. Do you remember seeing the footage? What did everybody do? Now, they started yelling at them. I grant you that. Get down! Get down! And everybody but one got down. And I don't mean with their bad selves. They got underneath the table. One guy, he was actually an agent from Creative Artist Agency. He just sat there eating his salad. I thought it was because he was being like, dude, way to go. You're not being a coward. Well, it turns out he was like a germaphobe and he just didn't want to get on the floor and he had a bad knee and he didn't think that he'd be able to get back up. So he just sat there watching the Secret Service run around. Now, I grant you, in that particular setting, some wisdom needed to be employed, but it did get me to thinking. All of the men were hiding under tables. And again, I grant you, every circumstance is different, but maybe we could use that as a catalyst to consider, men, how will you react if that happens? You're the principal. School shooting happens. You're going to take a bullet? Somebody bursts into a restaurant, or better, more likely, a church. Are we all willing to take a bullet for the women and for the children? Look, I don't know the circumstance. I don't know everything that went down at the Hilton shooting, so I don't think we can make a blanket statement that they were all cowards, but I do think that it gives us a good reason to consider when something like that happens, will we be men who are willing to let our own lives be given for the sake of others? Because it seems to me that is what we are called to as men, and wouldn't that be modeling, oh, who am I thinking of here? Oh, yeah. Our Savior. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.